Joe Bonamassa.
You're calling me personally. You don't have a handler. This I like, Joe.
I call people directly. It's like that's like the definition of messing up a one car parade. So I go, just give me the number. I'll call direct.
It's beautiful.
So I make a car deal.
Yeah, man. You know? But yeah, no, it's great talking to you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm having one of them pessimistic music biz weeks, but I shake it off and then become optimistic again. But what gets me a little bit is the amount of speculation.
Yeah.
And how many people stick the landing about how they know what's going to happen. I'm like, no, you really don't.
No.
And it's, to me, social media became a chore. So I jettisoned some of that. And I got to tell you, that was the best thing I've done in 10 years.
You're so good at social media. I'm surprised to hear you say you've jettisoned it.
I deleted my Instagram account, all 715,000 followers, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because when I first started, it was fun. It was a network of people and guitar players, musicians, mm-hmm. and everybody was taking pictures of the guitars and their lunch, and it was an exchange of information. About a year ago, it started to become combative.
Yeah.
And the problem is when it becomes combative is anybody can say the most rude, obnoxious thing. They can threaten you. They can threaten to, in my case, they can threaten to find your guitar theme park, aka your house, and burn it down if you don't hand it over.
Jesus.
That was the one. That was the last straw for me.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
And
they actually had my address within two numbers, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
we're done here.
Oh my God, wow.
And, you know, my old thing about products that I do and things that I take on, I go, it's fun until it's not. And when it's not fun, and when it just the killjoys,
yeah,
I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
why am I posting? Who cares? I just could have mothballed it, but I know myself, and I said, you got to go. What's the best time to start a diet? Not Monday, today, right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one of those projects that you're happy and you're optimistic about, because this looks great. You are exploring a new project that is involving your British heroes. You played with Clapton. You played with many others. You opened for B.B. King, but that's not what I want to talk about. And, of course, you've got the supergroup Black Country Communion, which I'll ask about later.
Yep.
But now, with brand new songs from an upcoming album, Joe Bonamassa, you've come up with, I think, a most exciting way to debut them live for the whole freaking world in concert from the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, the Mother Church. Hey Joe, this is going to be fantastic. A couch concert of the year. Tell us about it, all of it.
The couch concert of the year. I love that.
That's what it is.
You're a marketing guy like me. you know, the thing about it is we you know, historically for the last, I don't know, 40 some odd records I've done, I think I've done 44. This would be my 45th. And you know, obviously we make records, so we go out and tour, promote them, and you make another record, and it becomes like a feedback loop. It's a loop, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had this record in the can since January, and we're like, well, do we just kind of put it on the back burner? I'm like, no, we got to put out some music here, and you know, take a chance. And like, well, how do you promote it when you can't tour? How do you get out there and you know showcase your wares, as they would say.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea came about doing a pay-per-view live stream with a charitable, contribution to this Fueling Musicians initiative that we've started a few months ago. And we've raised over $320,000 to date. And we give out $1,500 checks to struggling musicians, which, as far as I'm concerned right now, they're all struggling. So we're doing it at the Ryman. And it's the first time ever I'm going to play a record from the first song in order to the last song, and then we're going to take like a 5-minute break, you know, and maybe crack open a bottle of Chablis, and then come back, and we're going to play 5 or 6 songs from my first record.
Wow.
Which I haven't played these arrangements in 20 years.
Jeez, okay.
So the exciting part of it is we rehearsed initially last week. We did 6 days of rehearsal to kind of dust off the cobwebs. It went great. The songs play themselves, and the old songs seem fresh now because I haven't played them literally in 20 years. So I'm looking at it from a 43-year-old's perspective. Playing music was written and arranged when I was 23.
Right.
And that was, it was very therapeutic and very cool because you're going, yeah, there's some stuff I do differently, but then there's some stuff I was like, yeah, man, I should revisit some of this headspace. And we're doing it on September 20th. It'll be 3 p.m. Central Time. So it kind of we're playing a global game here, and you know, so it's like 9 o'clock in the UK, 10 o'clock in Europe, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning in Australia. Obviously, it'll be the same time in South America, and you know, it'll be 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and you know, if you're in the U.S. territory of Guam, I'm not sure if I can help
you out. Well, I got to tell you, I think it might be prime time in the mid-Atlantic at that point in time. I mean, 3 o'clock Chicago time, 4 o'clock East Coast, 5. So, prime time, yeah. I guess, is Europe.
Yeah, prime time in Europe and dinner time in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we're trying to do this, we have to strategically plan our timing. And the cool thing is we're for a charitable contribution, we're getting, and you send in a photo of yourself. We're having these cardboard cutouts of people's faces, and we're going to stick them in the pews at the Ryman. So we're going to have 2,300 people virtually, their heads are going to be.
Yeah. Taking a page from Major League Baseball, and it just adds more money to the charitable contribution. Now, I assume you chose the Ryman Auditorium because it has acoustic qualities to which you can play an empty theater and still get the sound you want.
Absolutely. We've played the Ryman 7 times before, and it's always been an honor and a privilege. It's the same kind of vibe as every time I walk into the Royal Albert Hall. It's like, man, I'm so lucky to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And the other advantage is I have a place here in Nashville, and selfishly, I live like 2 blocks away from the Ryman, so I can walk to work. I don't have to take an Uber or worry about parking. I just walk down with my backpack, and I can walk home after.
Right.
And same thing, my apartment is in New York. It's really close to the Beacon Theater, so I can, in theory, walk to work and come back. It's going to be a great evening, and plus our fueling musicians, partners, and a lot of artists that we've helped out with this campaign have contributed tracks for this kind of after show live stream that's going to go on after we get done playing. And so it's going to be a nice evening, hopefully a nice evening of music and a welcome distraction, for the blues community in a time where, frankly, everyone's struggling.
Yeah.
And the level of uncertainty is palpable when I talk to my friends,
right,
and colleagues. It's like even top down. I mean, if arena fillers to club acts, they're going, I'm not so sure we got a job coming back here in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
It gets the band working, gets some people paid, get some charity going on.
Right.
I can't see a downside of it.
Let's switch gears a little bit, Joe Bonamassa, and talk about the new album, Royal Tea. It is geared towards your love of the British way of doing the blues.
I've been an Anglophile since I've been a kid. My gateway to the blues music was through, Blind Faith and Eric Clapton and John Mayall and the Blues Breakers and early Fleetwood Mac and Led Zeppelin and the Jeff Beck group and everything. And then, obviously I would go, who's this Chester Burnett guy? Who's this, Hubert Sumlin guy, all the Chicago guys. And, who's this man, B.B. King, I keep hearing about, they're credited on the record. So like a lot of Generation X blues rock white guitar players, our introduction to this music that we love so much was through the British. And then you go, wow, check this guy Albert King out. Check this guy, Hubert Sumlin out. Like, check out Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
You know, Hound Dog Taylor and the list is endless. What I wanted to do is write a record in London, record it as a tribute to the movement, not specific people. It was like, just let me call my friend Bernie Marsden and Pete Brown, who wrote the lyrics for White Room and Sunshine of Your Love and that very esoteric Cream song called Swabbler, which is like, she walks like a bearded rainbow.
Yeah.
Pete's 80 years old and is still is biting and thoughtful and on point as he was in 1966. The three of us wrote this record together, and we recorded it at Abbey Road. And after the first track was recorded, the first day, I said, you know what? I love it when a plan comes together, because it sounded British to me. And I was like, okay. You know, the good news is that it music kind of plays itself, and people really enjoy it, and the stuff that they've heard so far.
Right.
It's been successful out of the gate, and I think it's one of the best things I've done in a long, long time.
So the new record, the new album, Royalty, comes out officially in October. But the first time you're going to be able to hear all of the songs is on September 20th for this amazing couch concert that you're doing from the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. So you're gonna be able to hear the new songs, and you can, with the ticket, buy the album at the same time. So
yeah, you can buy. There's tiered packages,
right,
and stuff like that. And you know, I mean, I think we're even printing up a T-shirt that says Joe Bonamassa Fall Tour 2020, and it's just September 20th at the Ryman. One gig.
Yeah, man. So hey, I wanted to talk about your nonprofit before we switch off. I know you've got another guy or somebody else you got to talk to, but I wanted to talk about your nonprofit. You're keeping the Blues Alive Foundation. Each ticket sold includes a donation to Fueling the Musicians program. And you mentioned earlier that you're basically cutting checks to people who are not working, and this is such a great thing. Now, I also want to talk about the future of live performances with social distancing. Do you think live performances are going to still happen with, you know, every other seat being sold, but yet just jacking up the ticket prices?
I don't think so.
No?
And I'll tell you why. I think it'll happen. I know a few people that have done a few of these kind of drive-in gigs. And it basically what it is, it's a wash. It really is a wash.
Mm-hmm.
It's a break even at best situation. And even if you sell every other seat, which is okay, you know, the problem is that there's a fixed cost to a venue. Okay. There's a fixed cost to putting up a PA. There's a fixed cost to renting a venue, to turning the lights on, to hiring the ushers. And it doesn't matter how many tickets you sell, you have a fixed cost. And the thing is, if you're a concert promoter or if you're vertically integrated like we do it, you don't really make money. Your break even is like 55% of the house, maybe 60%, you know, by the time you promote it and buy ads and everything.
Right.
So if you can only sell 50% of the tickets, you're losing 10% selling the thing out. It's an unsustainable model. And I think the ones that can hold out the longest are going to have the best chance of coming out of this semi-unscathed, because you can't scale a tour across the U.S. or even into Europe or whatever. You know, they're just saying, oh, just sell every other seat, you'll be fine. Well,
no, I realize that's not sustainable, but I mean, or else you just jack the ticket prices so that only, you know, the filthy rich can come see people play music, when that's no good. You know,
that's no good. And the problem is like, you're going to jack the ticket prices up in the worst economy since the Great Depression.
Yep.
It seems like we got a perfect storm here brewing, Tom.
Yep.
It just doesn't. I think we just have to be patient and wait it out and see what happens. And it's going to slowly start trickling back, between the third quarter, fourth quarter of next year. But it's going to be a slow trickle back, and I think by spring of 2022, you'll start seeing more of a normal looking concert. But everything, like, oh my God, 2022.
I know. Seems like a long ways away.
It's going to be a we're the hardest hit industry of all of it. We were the first to be shut down because we're mass gathering. Sports has the TV revenue and ancillary, you know, endorsement deals and sponsorship deals. We're all private entities, you know. I mean, from your you know, from a Brad Paisley down to someone's playing, you know, shubas in Chicago. Everybody's got we're all private business.
You mentioned shubas. I was going to ask you. I saw you play at the Chicago Theater a few years back. Do you have a favorite venue here?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, It's not lost on me how cool it is to walk under that Chicago sign.
Yeah, it is.
And walk into the backstage, and it's like one of the most beautiful theaters. You know, one of the things about the Chicago Theater is it's just like, you know, you walk on the stage at Carnegie Hall or, you know, Fox in Detroit, or, you know, there's about a dozen of them around the country. And you go, man, everyone from Delaney and Bonnie and Friends and Eric Clapton and George Harrison to Frank Sinatra stood right where you're standing.
Yep.
And the curtain goes up and the show starts and you go, man, this isn't a bad day out. This is pretty fun. You
know? I've actually spent all of maybe 30 seconds on that stage and I felt the same way. Before I let you go, Joe Bonamassa, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to see your virtual show, your on-stage show on September 20th. And I imagine it's just a Google search away as to get those tickets, how you get those tickets. So I'm not going to ask you for any, you know, website information or anything like that, but just search out Joe Bonamassa, the couch concert of the year from the Ryman Auditorium on September 20th. Real, real cool talking to you. I could have probably asked another 30, 40 questions, but I know our time is short. But Joe Bonamassa, I'd love to meet you in person sometime.
Next time I'm in Chicago, man, let's hang, and I'll come into the radio station. We can actually have a conversation with two humans in the same room.
And we can look at each other in the eye. I gotta hopefully get you to take your sunglasses off.
Oh, I don't wear them all the time. I just wear them around people that I don't like.
Are you kidding me? You don't wear that suit everywhere?
I'm wearing the suit right now. I have to go to Walgreens for some paper towels. The people at Sears Activewear are not designed suits.
You're a Hager man.
Exactly.
Joe Bonamassa, pleasure talking to you, man. All the best. Can't wait for the new album, and the show looks fantastic.
Thank you, man.